Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
When we have a problem, how do we go into our psychology and begin to understand what's not working correctly in order to change it? Because it's not just about changing your thinking. I mean, it is changing your thinking, but what's underlying in your thinking that actually needs to be worked on in order to master this? Here we have our intellectual factors. Now, these are the abilities that our intellect has that most people are never really taught. Like, you've heard these words before, but people don't realize this is what makes up the intellect. These are the faculties that we have in our intellect that if we work on them, if we strengthen them, if we train them, they serve us in a very, very good way because they allow us to handle problems. They allow us to handle uncertainty. They allow us to take, I believe, the dream and the purpose that every person has in life, go out and live it, create it, actually literally create it in our life. But you have to understand how they're working, because even though we have them, if you've never really worked on them before, if you've never really focused and said, okay, let me work, like, for number one, perception. Let me understand what perception is. Let me understand what it does, how it works, and let me understand how to work on it so it's working for me the best way that it can. Then what's happening is your subconscious mind is constantly telling your conscious mind how to perceive your world. And that's based on beliefs that somebody else gave you. Now, if those beliefs were absolute, you would not have everybody having different experiences in the world. And the differences that the different experiences that other people have in the world are not based on anything that's magical. It's not based on anything that's special about them that you don't have. Yeah, it's true. People have different purposes. People have different talents. But everybody is talented in something. Everybody has a purpose for something. Everybody has the ability to feel a dream in their heart, see it in their mind, and create it in our life. Why? Because we're creative beings. We have, one of our faculties is imagination. That is the creative faculty in our intellect. If we understand how to use it, we're literally downloading information from the universe. Like, when you have a dream about something, when you build an image in your mind, where do you think it came from? It came from the knowledge that's in the universe. All the knowledge that ever was or ever will be is 100% present in all places at the same time. It's already here. So everything that human beings create in the physical, everything that we manifest, this whiteboard, this marker, the cameras that are viewing me, right? Like, everything that's in front of you right now that's been created by human beings, where did the knowledge come to create those things? It came from the universe. Well, how did it come from the universe? It came into a person's mind as an idea, and the person used their imagination in the right way, and along with their other faculties, to then manifest that image from the non-physical to the physical. Everybody's creating their life, but most people don't realize that they're creating it. Most people think that we've showed up in this life, and we're experiencing everything that we're experiencing, and we really don't have the ability to change much. So what we're doing is we're just reacting based on information that other people gave us to tell us how to react to these things in our life. And when things go wrong, we don't understand why they went wrong. And very often we're looking at the things that have gone wrong and we're saying, what's wrong with me that this has gone wrong? And then you hear all the different superstitions that people put on those ideas. Like, I always have bad luck, or it's just not for me. My life's just full of trouble. Everybody in my life experiences this. I'm not as good as somebody that has things better. Like, you have to ask yourself, what is the language that runs around in your mind when you have an issue, especially if you have an issue that happens over and over again? Because it's a real good indicator of what your belief around that issue is. But understand, Somebody else gave you that belief. It's not yours. You didn't create it. Somebody else gave it to you. And that's the way that you only think that you can think about something, because that's the way that you're actually experiencing it. So that would be the incorrect use of your perception. Because your perception is seeing something based on how your subconscious mind is seeing it, which is based on the beliefs and the values that somebody else gave you, the meanings that somebody gave you about something specific in your life. So if we're looking at success, whatever success means to you, we have to ask ourselves, how do we use these faculties in order to create the individual success that we want to experience? And to create the individual success that we want to experience, we have to have the correct psychology to not only move past a problem, but change it so that we actually get a successful solution. So that means we have to have a successful action that creates a successful solution. But what's before the successful action? It's successfully using these faculties in a way that allows us to get to the answer, to get to the successful answer, to be able to evaluate it in a different way than the problems actually presenting itself in our life. So let's look at these. Perception. Let's take perception. Perception is the way that we see something and understand it, but it's also the way we see something and understand it based on the information that we've been taught about it our whole life. Now, this is really interesting, because if that's the information and most people see these things the same way, especially if it's the people that we've surrounded ourselves with, we don't really see how our perception of it is going to change anything. So what do we need to learn to be able to change our perception? So we have to understand that our perception is being controlled by beliefs. And if we want to change it, we have to understand the truth to change the perception. Because most of the beliefs that we have, like I said before, are rooted in the idea of safety. And they're rooted in the idea of certainty. And they're rooted in the idea of not having too many mistakes in our life. Like, fundamentally, that's what's taught all over the world. I mean, unless you come from a real successful family that understands success psychology and mindset, where they really drill that into you as a kid, and then they teach you how to apply it to your life, you don't get this information, because it's not general information that's taught to most of society. That's why most of society struggles, because they never get this information. And the values and the beliefs that they have contradict this information so much, because it seems like a risk. And then, of course, we make it wrong. We make rich people wrong. We make any kind of idea of going after what you want selfish. And then you're supposed to be ashamed of that, or you're raised with shame and guilt. There's so many pieces that are going on in our subconscious mind that prevent us from using our perception in a way to actually see the good in what we want to do. It almost is like you shut down and you can't get there. In order to change it, you have to have a really deep desire to want a different result in your life, whatever that result is. Because if you don't have that desire, you're not going to push through the psychology that you were given in order to move to one that actually sets you free. In order to do that, we need a new foundation. That's truth. The laws that govern that truth that allow you to change your perception so that you can see something completely different than you're currently seeing. And here's the damnedest thing about perception. You have two people. Let's say you have one person who's rooted in safety, the other one who's rooted in success. They'll look at the same thing at the same time. They could be in the same space. They'll see things completely different. One person will see risk and everything that can go wrong and all the consequences of making that mistake in their life. The other person will see opportunity and all of the wins that can happen with the exact same opportunity. Problems are the same way. One of the things that that we're experiencing right now, well, we're not experiencing, but a lot of people are experiencing, is the idea that business is slow or stopping in some way because of the government shutdown around businesses and individuals and stuff. So they think that they can't move their business forward. They think that they can't ask other people for money and like to make a sale with their business. That's the perception that they're using right now. So the consequence of that for them is that they stop. They don't move forward because they've convinced themselves that they can't. Then they look for outside verification, and there's a lot of people that are in the same situation. They can't. But the only reason that they can't is because they're following what their perception is telling them. They don't have a higher truth to go to that allows them to circumvent what they're experiencing visually in the world to move toward another truth and literally create that reality in their life. And forget the COVID thing. Like, this is the major issue with people reaching the success that they want. They can't see how to get to the other side because they don't have any new information. They've never integrated new information into their behavior and trained their perception to see something completely different. That's what the truth does. That's what the laws do. There are laws that absolutely govern every single thing in the universe. And what they really do is they give us a very clear picture of how to see the truth in everything. Otherwise, we're forced to see what other people told us. And it's not always based in truth. A matter of fact, a lot of it is based in lack, limitation, and lies, not truth at all. When we learn how to see the truth, we have different options. We have all kinds of options. And we can make different choices, and we can create a different result in our life. This is the major fundamental difference between someone who has repeated success in their life and a person who has repeated problems in their life. They see two totally different things in their reality, and it gives them the ability to make different choices. And when you have the ability to make different choices, you create a different reality. And here's the damnedest thing about it. What you want is very close to you. It's very close to you. Now, how do we know it's very close to you? Because you're experiencing the opposite problem of what you say you want. You're experiencing the thing that's telling you can't have the thing that you want. That's the opposite side of the solution. That means both things must exist at the same time in the same place. And one of the things that we have to do is get past our ego at this point. Because the ego says, hey, listen, I'm educated, right? I'm a smart person. Don't tell me that this exists. I can't see it. It's not my experience. You don't understand. I have all the evidence of this problem in my life. I have bills. I have debt. I have people knocking on the door that want to take the house. I have to lay people off. Like, I have all the evidence of problems in my life. Now, I get that. That's very true. And that is your reality. It does not mean that there's not another reality that exists at the same time, but your perception won't allow you to see it because you're fighting to stay in the same place. And even though we say we want something, if we don't understand that our subconscious mind will override that thought, if we don't know how to override the subconscious mind wins every time. The subconscious mind is habitual. It's extremely powerful. So you have to understand the information and you have to understand the tools to be able to override it in your life so that you can get a different result. Everything is here at the same time. The problem and the solution, the sickness and the health, the poverty and the wealth, the block and the opportunity. It's all here at the same time in the same place. Reason. Reason is our ability to think. It's also our ability to choose, which is so important. It's so very important. Because a lot of people think that they're actually making conscious choices in their life, and they're really not. They're having a reaction. Life is basically a reaction for most people. They go through life as a big, giant reaction. And they're reacting to things that are happening every day. They're reacting based on knowledge that they've gained all their life, experiences around that knowledge that verified that knowledge is true for them, and all they do is they keep reacting to it. They never really understand what it is to think. If we're really going to think constructively, if we're really going to engage reason, and we're really going to engage our ability to choose, we have to understand what we're choosing. We have to be able to see both sides of the same thing. We have to have an idea of what we're choosing for. Like, if I'm going to choose, like if I have a business and I have a problem and that problem is just completely stopping me, and I'm accepting that problem as reality, I don't realize at that moment, I'm choosing failure, not success. Now, I may say I want to solve the problem, but really you have to look at the decision you make. If you say, I don't have a choice, your subconscious is complete control over your choice at that point. You're not logically choosing. You're not choosing by really looking at the entire scope of things. You're accepting the problem as absolute, and you're succumbing to that problem in your life. That's not a conscious choice. That's an unconscious process of failure. That's an unconscious process of your mind trying to keep you safe, but literally almost always causes more of a disaster in your life. You'll understand how cause and effect really have a huge effect on that idea, because every effect that we have in our life has a cause. And we're primarily the cause of most of the effects that we experience. But if we don't understand how we're causing it, we don't understand how to change the experience. Very important. We have to understand that when we're going to choose, we have to understand where we're going, where we really want to be, and what are the reasons to overcome a problem. What are the reasons not to accept the terms of a problem as limiting so that we can't choose to overcome it? It's never limiting. Ever, ever, ever. It's never limiting. There is no problem that doesn't have a solution. What causes people to accept a problem is a decision based on the parameters of the problem, and that becomes the reality, and they accept that in their life. And then they stay stuck. And of course, then we engage, we go back into the deep into the reason to rationalize why we made that choice. Because we can rationalize anything. We will always find the reasons and the validation for quitting, for stopping, for not moving forward. We can constantly tell ourselves it's not the right time. We can constantly tell ourselves we don't have the money. We can constantly tell ourselves it's going to upset my spouse if I make a different decision. We can constantly tell ourselves that we're just getting ready. We're getting ready, we're getting ready, we're getting ready, we're getting ready. The only time to ever do anything is right now. The past doesn't exist anymore. The future doesn't exist yet. There's only right now. When something comes into your life as an opportunity to move you forward, the time to make that decision is now, not tomorrow, not 6 months from now. It's coming into your life for a reason. Everything comes into your life for a reason. If we are using our perception of that reason as something not to do, you can't blame it on the universe. The universe is trying to get you the solution. It's trying to give you the opportunity to move forward. You're the one that's saying no. But you think you're saying no based on your own limitations in life. There are no limitations in life because the psychology overcomes the limitations. So using your choice and reason to say, I understand the truth, I understand where I'm going, I'm moving forward regardless of what this problem represents, and then you make a decision to do that, that's when your reality changes. You can't wait for your reality to change to make the decision. The decision changes the reality. But if we don't use our reasoning and our choice in the right way, then we go back to a perception that actually doesn't serve us at all. Next is our will. Now, will is very interesting because basically all will means is focus. Most people think it means like power in the way of pushing or forcing, and it doesn't. It's not forcing. Will is our ability to lock into an idea, laser focus, and hold it with our focus in order to get the result that we're looking for. And you will find that very successful people have the ability, they have trained themselves, some have it naturally, sure, but most people have to train themselves to some degree to really hone their will, their ability to focus in order to get the end result that they're looking for. Excuse me. Earlier, I said that success is doing successful things over and over and over again. It's not just one successful thing, or I reach one big goal, or I break a million, and then I don't ever have to do anything again. Like, that's an absolute. It stays that way forever. I'm automatically successful. You're only as successful as your last result. After that, you're not anymore. So it's about doing it over and over again. In order to do that, we have to have the ability to focus. We have to be able to hone our will so that we see the result and we see what we're doing and we're going to stick to that no matter what, no matter what. Now, that says that's a big thing, because as we do that, we're also moving through life. So it goes back up to these work in conjunction, as they all work in conjunction, but it works back in conjunction with your ability to choose. Because if I am going to focus my will on a very specific direction, then I'm also simultaneously saying, I'm not going to allow anything to interfere with that decision. I'm not going to allow anything to interfere with that direction. How do we begin to increase our ability to use our will? Well, you won't do it if you don't have the first two solved in your mind. Like, if you don't have a logical reason to change these first two, you won't use the second. But let's assume that you get there and it's time to work on the second. There's two main things that are very important about the will. One of them is that you have to work on focusing. If you have a difficult time focusing on something, you have to work on it. That means you have to set time aside to consciously focus on something, and you build it like a muscle. And it will build. It will actually get stronger if you do it. However, here's something that I think is more important, that I think a lot of people really never consider or give themselves an opportunity to experience. I have never felt, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that disagree, but just hear me out on what I'm going to say, and you see if this makes any sense to you whatsoever. When I was a kid, I could not get myself to do schoolwork. Like, here and there, whatever, but I was basically a CDF student most of my life, and then I quit high school when I was 17. It was the most boring thing in the world to me. Just couldn't get myself to do it. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And nobody ever addressed this when I was a child either, except for one class, which was science, which I actually really love science. But what was interesting that I recognized was that I could read a history book, a chapter in a history book, over and over and over again, not retain anything. If I read the science book, I would retain everything, almost like I had a photographic memory or something. It was very odd. Later in life, what I found out was that when I was doing something I enjoyed, I had no problem focusing on it. If I was doing something I loved, I could focus on it forever. I would retain everything. I would absorb it like a sponge. And then I remember hearing somebody say, if you find what you love in life and you do that as a career, if you find what you're passionate about and you do that as a career, you'll never have to work another day in your life. Meaning that you don't have to make yourself do the work in order to get the result you want. You want to do those things because you love it so much. And I think we're very much raised in an ideology that says you have to pick something that is going to be able to support you. Forget doing what you love. If that happens to come across your path at some point, great. But for most people, it doesn't. So find something you can tolerate, do that, and then you'll be safe for the rest of your life. I firmly believe that if you don't love it, you shouldn't do it. That you literally should do the thing, find the thing that you love to do in life, the thing that you're absolutely passionate about. I think it brings out your genius. I think it brings out your ability to focus. I don't think you have to tell yourself to focus on it. I think you automatically want to do good with it. And it gives you the desire to want to break through problems because you're so intimately connected with the thing that you're doing and the result that you're going for, that that internal energy that a person does need to overcome the obstacles in their life is already there because you love something so much.
Hey everyone, David here. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, I want to personally invite you to check out my upcoming Art of Success Virtual Summit taking place this October. Don't miss the opportunity to enjoy my teachings from the comfort of your own home. These 3 days will change your life. For more information, go to www.davidnagelseminars.com.
Now, the downside to this is that a person can not understand this, start doing something that they really love, but they have hit so many obstacles and they have failed so many times that those failures and obstacles and the internalizing of the emotions around those has really dampened their love and their enthusiasm for something that they want to do. So it's not to the surface, and they kind of feel like they have to make themselves do things all the time, and they're building the idea that they don't actually love what it is that they're doing. I think that it's also a way of focusing where if we start looking at the things that we need to do in order to be successful, and we find reasons why we can enjoy it and change our beliefs around those, it becomes much easier to focus because we start to get in harmony with the thing that we want to do. The great author Thomas Troward wrote in the Enberg Dory lectures on mental science, he said, get into the spirit of the thing. Emerson said, do the thing and you'll get the energy to do the thing. Like when we get involved in the spirit of something, there is a transference of energy that happens between those two things. We start to become in harmony. And the harmony of that is growth, because that is like the modus operandi of the entire universe. It is constant growth. It is life ever moving forward. And when we do something where we're in that harmony of that life, we start to get and transfer the energy of that between us and the thing, or between us and the person. It's a real fantastic experience to be one with that thing that you're doing, which really gives your ability to focus a great boost in life. Either way, how long you can focus on the end solution really determines whether or not you're actually going to get it. Because if you don't focus on it, what happens with most people? They have a problem, they don't like the consequence of the problem, or they have a challenge that they have to do some personal growth to overcome the challenge, and they get distracted because they're off looking for something else to do that doesn't constantly suggest that there's this problem in their life. So many people that start businesses, that have businesses, refuse to focus on the things that are going to get them results, because they're distracted by other bright, shiny things in their life that are easier for them. But they're complete distractions. They will not get them or ever get them the results that they're looking for. So we have to understand, if we can't focus, we can't laser in on a problem and solve it. That's one of the things about the blind spot breakthrough. We laser in on the specific problem and come up with the solution, right? So the idea is that you want to learn how to do this. It's essential that you learn how to do this if you're going to continue to move forward. Otherwise, you're always at the base level of problem solving, and not even problem solving, struggling with your own problem solving in order to get a solution. I have watched people get involved with professional development or self-improvement of all different kinds. And even with spirituality, religion in some cases, and they're always in the so-called growth of that. But the problem's not changing. So they're picking one theory after another theory, one book after another book, one coach after another coach, one seminar after another seminar, one religion after another religion, one teacher after another teacher, constantly working on the same problem. And they don't understand that the problem has become their security. It has become the foundation of their life. And they're not actually moving forward, but they're trying to convince themselves that they are. If you had a problem last month, it shouldn't be a problem this month, or you should be making significant progress in changing that, because the whole idea is growth. So the problems will change, but the psychology around it becomes very lifted, where it's not something heavy. We have the tools to know how to deal with it. Those tools don't change, and they allow you to circumvent every single problem that comes in your life, but you have to focus. Memory. What ends up happening is that we have a large difficulty with finding out how can we use this in a way that is going to benefit us moving forward. Now, blind spots are big with this, because a blind spot is really your subconscious mind not wanting to see something with the agenda that it's actually going to keep you safe. It's not that it's not there. It's not that you can't see it, but it has an agenda that if you see it, you won't be safe. It's important to know that, okay? In psychological terms, they call that a scotoma, right? So it's literally right in front of you, but your eyes won't see it. Your perception won't pick it up. How can you remember that if you can't see it? How can you remember that if your perception can't grab it? How can you remember that if you can't create the image or hear the auditory around it? If you're moving forward in your business and you're growing, we have to understand that it's constantly representing new information, new ideas, new challenges. Big problem if those new ideas, new information, new challenges are threatening some emotional issue that you have in your life. Because if it is, before your eyes can pick it up, your subconscious mind will reject it. And you won't understand why you don't remember it, why you didn't even see it to begin with. And it causes big problems because then you have a problem manifest and you don't know what the manifestation of that is. Imagination. Imagination is your ability to create. We literally have the ability to create. Problem with the imagination is this. When we were really little, our imagination was really engaged. You don't have to take a baby or a toddler and teach them how to engage their imagination. They will do that automatically. And they will build all kinds of fantasy worlds to live in. Which is fine when they're little because it usually keeps them out of mom and dad's hair for a period of time. So we encourage it. But once the child has to start to conform to life as we know it, whether it's the household or it is school, then we need the child to be able to do things at a very specific time. We don't have time for daydreaming. We don't have time for imagination. The kid has to focus, 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 focus on reading, remembering what they read, repeating that on a test, moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. Not a lot of time for daydreaming. And at some point, it's really discouraged in a big way. It's actually looked at as child's play. It's looked at as immaturity. It's looked at as distraction. In some cases, it's actually looked at as a learning disability. It's one of the most fundamental, amazing powers that we have to imagine. Because the why would we have an imagination if we weren't supposed to use it? It is the downloading and organization of universal information based on what you're in harmony with to create something in your life. If you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. You can literally create whatever you see in your mind, you can create it in your life. The difference is, are we using our imagination consciously, or is our subconscious mind overriding our imagination to build images of things that we're afraid of? When we let doubt, worry, fear get in our mind, when we let the suggestion of the outside world get into our mind based on other people's opinions, based on other people's fears, and if you look at, like, especially right now, the internet, the news, like the virus information is everywhere. You can't get away from it if you start to look at any kind of technology. So our mind is picking that information up, whether we're consciously focused on it or not. It only needs to be on in a room, and our mind is picking it up like a sponge. What does that suggest? It suggests fear. It suggests doubt. It suggests worry. It suggests consequences, some real, some not real. But all of that information is going on in your mind. It becomes rooted. It plays off of internal fears that we already have. Then, boom, engage our imagination, and we start building consequences in our mind that don't serve us. Because those consequences represent usually things that we feel we have no control over. And when we feel like we have no control, we go into freeze mode. We freeze. We don't want to do anything, because anything that we do could cause us to actually experience the problem that we're imagining in our mind. One of the sayings is fear is false evidence appearing real, right? It is, you're literally using your imagination to build an image of what you don't want to experience. When we think about fear, we're using our imagination to build images of things that we don't want to experience. And then Very often we will use our voice as an expression of those images, and we start talking about it with other people. Using your voice is you're bringing it into creation every time you speak it. Every time you talk about what you don't want in your life, you start creating that thing in your life. You're making it more real. You're thinking about it more. You're using your imagination in the wrong direction to create things that you don't want. And if nobody ever told you that before, you're doing it based on like this neurotic idea that there's this fear and there's bad things all around us that can happen, and we constantly need to protect ourselves from all these bad things in the world. And then that becomes the fundamental focus of our life. Another problem is that an individual, it doesn't matter, even a person that has really mastered their psychology in life, because we're always growing, we're always experiencing different things. We never know when something is going to show up in our life that may challenge even the best success mindset in what's real and what's just imagined. A deep-rooted fear that might be generations old, might be lodged in your subconscious mind, and you don't even know it until a very specific moment in time with a very specific set of circumstances brings that fear right to the surface. So we always have to be aware of what we're letting in, what our mind is even doing when we're not thinking, like paying very close attention to like, you know, if I'm thinking a thought over and over again, why am I thinking that thought? Why is my mind kind of stuck on that idea? Am I engaged in fear? Am I engaged in lack? Am I really consciously trying to problem solve in this moment in time? Because if we're not, then our imagination runs amok and just goes off in its own direction. It's something that you can harness and something that you can literally spend time using it to create the solution that you want. Imagination is what got us from the cave to the condominium. It took a phone that existed on Star Trek 40, 50 years ago and made it real in our life. It allowed everything that we've created, everything that mankind has created, both good and bad, mind you, through the use of our imagination to literally exist in the physical. When you think of just the potential behind that, through the proper use of the imagination, it's absolutely astounding what we can do if we harness the power of our imagination to create the life that we want. But it has to be disciplined, right? It has to be disciplined like anything else. You have to structure it. You have to use it. You have to use it consciously. You have to use it to create good in your life. You have to use it to see what you want. People are going to put crap out there in the world. You don't have to focus on it. You can choose to see the things that you want to see in life. You can choose to create the things that you want to create in life. And the last one's intuition. Now, a lot of people, there's some people that will say that they're intuitive. Some people will say that they're not intuitive, but everybody's intuitive. And we have the ability to use our intuition in a way where it helps guide us in our life. So here's something that's very interesting. So I think that, like, I don't want people to get really hung up on intuition. The reason being is that very often a person has confused intuition with fear. I remember one time when I was first learning about this, I had asked my mentor, I said, because he was teaching this, and I said, how do you know the difference between intuition and fear? And I thought he was going to give me like this explanation to be able to tell the difference. And his response was experience. Here's the key to this. The key is that you have to trust it and test it in order to get to know it. If you don't do that, if you just make absolute decisions based on whatever you're experiencing, you never really know whether it's fear or, you know, if it's intuition. So intuition is this energetic ability for our body to pick up information that we generally can't see. And I think everybody has experienced this from time to time. Like, for whatever reason, you know that you know something. And then you find out you're 100% correct. You know that you know. That's your intuition talking to you. But you also have this other side of your personality, of your body, that can pick up things that is fear-based. I think that there's a big difference because you have a program that picks up fear and you have a program of your intuition. One tells you what not to do and one tells you what to do. Very often we get these confused. We get them confused. And often there's people that think that they're the exact same thing. I don't happen to think they're the exact same thing. And the reason for this is that there's a spiritual philosophy that spirit always tells you the direction to go, not the direction not to go. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Fear will tell you what not to do. Now, that doesn't mean that it's bad. That does not mean that it's bad. Fear can save your life, right? It is the ancient part of ourselves to keep us alive. When fear overrides all your decision-making in life, when it overrides the direction that you ultimately want to go in your life, when it overrides the things that you need to do to get there, then it's a problem. But the rudiment of fear itself is not bad at all. It's part of an existence that keeps everything, you know, moving from, you know, getting eaten, that, you know, that type of thing. Fear tells you what not to do. Intuition tells you what to do. Spirit is always flowing to and through you. You can call it energy. It doesn't matter to me what you call it. It's always moving to and through you. And you have to understand it's without form. It has no form, but it has direction. Okay? Everything that energy or spirit moves through, it has to succumb to the thing that it's moving through, and it becomes the form of whatever it is that it moves through. So like through a physical body, what gives that energy form? Your DNA does. It tells the energy what to turn into. But it's the same energy that's flowing through this whiteboard or flowing through this building or whatever. Whatever structure it flows through is what it becomes. But it has the modus operandi of it is growth. It always becomes the thing. It always grows the thing. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It cannot decide what to turn it into. The thing decides what it turns into, okay? So as it flows into our consciousness, it's without form. We either have fear creating the image or we have our intuition creating the image. Now, this is for the intuitive faculty now, okay? So we have to pay attention to what is that energy feeling telling me to do? What is it telling me to do? Is it saying, don't do this? Or is it saying, do this? Because this is how you learn which one it actually is. And I think it's very important over time to be able to cultivate that faculty and really be able to trust it, really be able to use it. But a person needs to work on this. Now, the great thing about the intuitive faculty is that you don't have to have that highly formed to be successful. You don't. There's people that refuse to use it that I know that are extremely successful. They will not go on their gut. They will not go after a gut instinct at all. They want to see the facts, and whatever the facts say, that's it. It doesn't matter how they feel. They refuse to listen to any part of that side of themselves. That's fine. That's fine. But just know that it's there and know and get an idea of the difference between the two. And it takes experience to learn between the two in order to hear what it's actually telling you to do or what not to do. Now, let's wrap this up. To master your psychology, the idea is that we first have to have an image or an idea in our mind of where we're going. Where do you want to go in your life and your business? Do you realize that you have the ability to create it however you desire to create it? Not what the world or other people dictate. However you desire. And your desire to do something is extremely unique to you. It has to do with your purpose in life. It has to do with why you're here. If you remember, I started today asking you, what are you here to experience? If you don't ever consider that, you don't really consider why you're experiencing something. And you have the ability to change the experience. You know, if we were raised, if we had, say, a toxic or a really bad childhood, that could set up the seeds in our mind to experience bad relationships in life, abusive problems, money problems for the rest of our life. If those ideas got into a person's head, that could be what they're experiencing as an adult. If they don't understand that they have the ability to change that, that they don't have to experience what their parents experienced, that there's no allegiance to doing that, that they can literally create their own life the way that they want it, you're going to stay stuck in whatever the problem is. So the idea is to ask yourself the question, what are you here to experience? Do you really want success? Do you really want to experience that? Then you have to change the foundation in which you're starting from. Don't start from the problem. Start from the solution. Then a person says, well, I don't know what to do. How do I start from the solution? You cannot start from the solution until you decide to start from the solution, because everything after that then shows up. The decision always precedes the manifestation. It's not the other way around. So understand that the power to create an opportunity, the power to create, to overcome an obstacle, the power to create the resources such as money in your life, the power to create how you manage time in your life, that major resource that we all have the same amount of, it's based on the decisions that you make. But you're not going to make it, you're not going to create the decision that you want without creating the image that you want. The image needs to be in harmony with your desire. What is your desire for the creation in your life? What is that desire? What do you want? When we get done with this today, really sit down and ask yourself, what do I want? Forget the problems that we're having. Forget it. Don't come from the problem. Start with the solution. Start with the dream. Start with the image. Because if you only start with the problem, you're always coming from this base idea of what needs to be there to validate you. And that's the problem. That's why people experience the same problems over and over again. It validates how they view the world. It validates how they make decisions. It validates whether they're taking action on their dream or they're tolerating a life that they don't want. We have to get rid of the problem from a decision-making perspective. Now, does that make the problem go away? No, it doesn't, but you're not going to make a decision based on the problem. You're going to make a decision based on where you want to go. That is a winning psychology. A winning psychology doesn't see the problem as anything other than something that's there. It sees where it's going. When I see where I'm going and I take action where I'm going, the problems will take care of themselves. Meaning that all the solutions show up. Because I'm not giving the energy to the problem. I'm giving the energy to the direction that I want to go. That means all the resources will be there. The people will be there. The opportunities will be there. The knowledge will be there. Everything that I need will begin to show up when I make that decision. What do you desire for your life? Even to change your psychology, there has to be a reason to put the work in to do it. And if you don't have a good enough reason, you won't. And I'll tell you this, wanting success is not a good enough reason. The thing that you want in life needs to become a magnificent obsession. And of course, life should be a magnificent obsession. Something that we absolutely love to take part in and live to the fullest. And when we start to get that clear, mastering our psychology actually becomes a pretty easy thing to do because we want to do it. See, all of this needs to be something that you want to do, not something that you have to do. If you come from the place of I have to do it, very few people will ever do it. Move your psychology first to I want to do it. I want to live the image that I see in my mind that nobody can take away from me, that is my responsibility to hold. My responsibility to cherish, and follow that with all the energy that you have, and you'll create a life that you want.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.